a young perspective on hot-button issues around the world. This is The Hub.
Welcome to this special edition of The Hub. I'm Wang Guan in Beijing. On March 24, 1999, without the authorization of the United Nations Security Council, the U.S.-led NATO initiated a bombing campaign against the former Federal Republic of Yugoslavia as late President Milosevic refused to withdraw from Kosovo. The bombing campaign lasted for 78 days, resulting in significant casualties among innocent lives and causing extensive property and otherwise damages on the territories. Now, 25 years on, what do people still remember about those days? What are the views of the ordinary people in that region on NATO? Earlier, our crew visited Serbia and spoke with a family living nearby the former Chinese embassy. When the bombs fell, the family was just meters away. The place we're standing is the China Culture Center, one of the largest centers of its kind in Europe. This place used to be the Chinese embassy in the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. However, on that fateful day in 1999, a bomb reduced everything to rubble.
We know that you live close by.
Yes.
Maybe you can start by telling us a bit about what you still remember about that day.
We just sleep. The bombing was around 2 o'clock in the morning, if I remember very well, but we're just sleeping because it was very hard to sleep in the dead days at all. We always wait for something, and that night we just have something. Around 2 o'clock when the bombing was here, it was absolutely terrible. A lot of smog, a lot of sirens, everything else, and the smell. The smell was terrible. Smell of burning plastic.
You can still recall the smell.
Yes, burning plastic. And the other morning, when I walk around my neighborhood, I saw a lot of metal pieces around anywhere, on parkings, near my car, on the streets. It was huge bombing that night, really.
That day symbolized months of turmoil and fear for the people residing in that region. On March 24, 1999, acting without the United Nations Security Council authorization, the US-led NATO initiated a 78-day aerial bombing campaign against the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. The bombings continued until an arrangement was reached, which ultimately prompted the withdrawal of the Yugoslav army from Kosovo. This operation resulted in the death of over 2,500 people and the displacement of 1 million individuals in the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia.
Not even that.
They're bombing very precisely. I must realize it was precisely bombing. But why? Why the bombing that places? I never know.
Here. You live there?
Here, yes, here.
That's your home.
Yes, that's my home. And my windows is directly to the Chinese embassy. But after bombing of Chinese embassy, I escaped to my neighborhood. My neighborhood is from that direction, and they look directly at the Hotel Yugoslavia. In the same night, two bombs.
Scared?
Of course. Who doesn't scared? Alone with the kids, with the small kids, with the 4 and 6 years. What should I do? I can't run, I can't go anywhere, I can't waiting for the food, for example. Nothing. I just could wait. Nothing more.
Oh, what a episode, what a history.
It was very nice spring. I remember very nice spring, quiet. There was no such traffic because of the bombing every day. It was quiet and peacefully, and a lot of birds and a lot of trees and green leaves and everything else. But we spend our time at home. In the first 15 days, we are going out and spend some time at the park because children need to play. But after 15 days, when we realized that bombing wasn't stopped, not so fast, then we start to stay at home and waiting for the right moment for cooking, for cleaning, for washing, because they cutting electricity, they cutting water supplies and everything else. And then it was not possible to hanging around.
Alexandra and her family have been in this apartment for years. During the bombings, her husband was in Ukraine, while she and the two children lived in this community. Now, after 25 years, everything appears unchanged, yet everything feels different.
Thank you.
Alexandra, you and I talk about the fact that you were born in former Yugoslavia.
Yes.
And then you still consider yourself somehow, or as it's culturally, a Yugoslav.
Like Yugoslav.
But now the reality is the country no longer exists.
Yes.
You're seven countries now, or six and a half, should I say. I must have to be politically correct. How do you feel about this?
Very strange. It is very strange for me because in my country, I'm born in Yugoslavia. I spent my my youth in Yugoslavia, and I don't know our kids. If you're talking about, I know in which country I was born, but now I need to think about it, in which country my kids were born. Because in 1992, when the older one was born, I'm not sure it was Yugoslavia or something else. And then in 1995, it is another something else. And it is a very strange situation if you live in the same spot your whole life, but you change how many? Maybe five countries with five different passports and names, and it is really strange situation.
Now you have the Serbian passport.
Yes.
Did you have to switch when in?
Yes, we
2006?
Always need to switch. Yes, to switch and to pay for another ID, for another passport, for another driving license.
Five
yes.
times.
Yes, of course.
Now back to the bombing of NATO. Do you think that bombing 25 years ago changed the relations between how the Serbian people feel about Americans and the West forever?
I don't know. Young people like America because of the music, because of the Western films, because of the style of life or something like this. But my personal opinion, that after that bombing, not so fast, but a few years after bombing, people start to change their opinion about enjoying to the NATO. Now, I think now that ordinary people doesn't want to Serbia to join to NATO. Everybody asks why. Why we need NATO? We don't need NATO. They bombing us. We don't need NATO. We don't want to go to a NATO alliance. I think that it is because of the bombing.
So you said that basically you're pretty much of a fan mm-hmm. of looking to the East policy.
I would like to go to the East because culture and history and you saw something totally different than Europe. Why going to the West? Everything is similar.
What do you like about the East, or what you have heard about the East?
I don't know.
Son is in China.
Yes, my son work in China, but just 1.5 months. I would like for him to stay there, and I would like to come there to see the China. I really would like to see. I want to see something different.
25 years have passed, but everything in Alexandra's house remains unchanged, including the lingering traces left by the bombs. They see them as a form of commemoration, honoring the memories of those days.
You know, a lot of years ago, it was some conference. I work in university, I'm a university professor. And it was some conferences in my university, and we paid for the tourist guide to just hanging around the Belgrade and talk to our guests something. And we were at the Kalemegdan. You know what is the Kalemegdan? It is the huge park in the center of the Belgrade. And from that spot, you could see whole the new Belgrade. And the tourist guide just talk about history of the Belgrade. And in one moment, he said, if you count every small war in that area, and divided from the usually lifespan of the people, it you have the result that every people here on that area live in three different wars. And I said, oh, it is not possible, three different wars for one lifespan. Then when I count down now. Yeah. It was war in 22, it was in 92, it was war in 95, it was bombing in 99. Right. I lived in three wars. And my children lives in three wars. And my grandmother living 5 wars. She lives 100 years.
Wow, the world wars.
First World War, then the Second World War, then the 92, 95, and 99. Five. Something is strange here. Maybe we all live in wars always. Maybe it is our destiny.
Hopefully it's not our destiny, and hopefully next time I see you, nothing will happen here.
We all enter this world with a universal greeting. We then learn to speak.
Bonjour, comment allez-vous?
Dobre utro.
Oh, yes, estoy muy contenta.
Though our languages, cultures, and traditions may differ, we still share one thing in common. We have hope for humanity and the world.
General Railway Company Deutsche Bahn,
the 26th United Nations Climate Change.
Hear the difference. Join our global network to connect with the world.
Twenty-five years have passed. How did NATO's bombs change Serbia and the region? And what does Serbia's strategic future hold? Earlier, we talked to Miša Jurković, a Serbian expert. Listen.
So, Miša, we're here on the mission, of course, of originally wanting to interview President Vučić, and we found that there's something that is worthy of investigation, that is the 25th anniversary of NATO's bombing of former Yugoslavia. 25 years on, how would you reflect on that historic event?
We remember 99 as a big trauma, as something that took several thousand of our lives, of our people, and incredible material destructions. Actually, some people estimate that the costs of the war were something between 50 up to 100 billion of dollars at that time. Infrastructure was totally devastated. They were doing some very humanitarian disastrous issues, like destroying electricity network in Serbia, and so on, so on. We were the only European nation that was fighting with NATO. In many ways, people thought that it was crazy. We think that we, in a way, showed that we are willing to defend our freedom, to defend what is ours. And on the other side, many people think that we gave example to the rest of the world, that there are people who are ready to fight for their liberty. Generally, when you perceive the polls, you see that 80% of people are strongly against NATO, against joining Serbia to NATO, that 80% of the people are against introducing the sanctions to Russia, for example, and so on, which means that we succeeded to preserve the awareness of our people that this is our country, that we want to fight for our liberty and our sovereignty as much as it's possible. And just to define where we are at this moment the only country in this part of the world, actually, that is not part of NATO. I mean, Serbia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is consisted of half of the Serbian population in a way, Republika Srpska, which is preventing our joining to NATO. So we are fighting to stay neutral. And especially after these new conflicts in Ukraine, at Gaza and so on, we are enhancing our idea of neutrality and preserving our independence in that sense.
You just said that the 1999 bombing was actually the first war launched by NATO against a European territory.
Yeah. Actually, of course, they were doing a lot of different interventions after the Cold War. Although it was promised to USSR that NATO will not expand to the east, now they are at the Russian borders, actually. But in 1999, this was very dramatic, and as you know, they were celebrating 50 years of creation of NATO at that time, and they wanted something bigger, in which they really wanted to present themselves as a, let me say, global policeman. NATO and America will not stop. Behavior of NATO is becoming more and more aggressive. As you know, Chinese embassy was bombed.
Why did you think NATO bombed it? Because according to the generals, that they used an outdated map and thinking this is a storage place for former Yugoslavia.
No, we do not believe, and I honestly think that neither in China nobody believes in that. Simply, that was a symbolic gesture. as they are doing that very often when they wanted to show the power, they wanted to show that they are able to do even this very problematic and provocative things in order to show. And don't forget, this was the peak of NATO. 99 was when America was thinking that it is the most stronger in the world.
Before 9/11, yeah, when Clinton was still in power, Tony Blair.
Unipolar moment, and actually they were really feeling themselves at the peak of financial power, military power, projecting their power everywhere in the world.
But what do you think are the primary motivations of NATO in bombing former Yugoslavia? Because, of course, allegedly, it's about values, right? Humanitarianism, intervention. But do you think there are interests or geopolitical interests that are the real reasons?
For us, it was never about the values. When we speak about the values, generally, because NATO and even EU is trying to present itself very much as a, you know, value-based organization. Today, you know, NATO was created as a very clear military organization for defense, as they said. But in the last 30 years, they are trying to redefine themselves, you know. They have this parliamentary assembly of NATO. They are trying to present themselves as a value-based organization. But take a look about what they've been doing in the practice, you know. Never you see any values, but only interest. But you could find overview everywhere in the world. What has NATO brought? Wherever it came, it never brought prosperity, freedom, or any of the values they claim that they are kind of promoting. Take a look about Afghanistan, take a look about Somalia, take a look about Iraq, take a look about Libya. I mean, what did we get in those countries? And the whole people already speak about Arab Spring as some kind of mostly NATO countries inspired operation. Of course, they use the color revolution systems, digitalization and so on. But generally, what you got? You got tens of destroyed countries. Wherever NATO came and started to impose so-called values, we got totally destroyed countries, destroyed civilization, destroyed material heritage. The most interesting thing to be followed, you know, that when Biden administration came to the power, the first thing that he did was starting this AUKUS global system. For me, the most, as a scholar, the most interesting thing in the future is the relationship of the NATO and this AUKUS system, because I think that generally they perceived China as, of course, as they see the biggest threat. You know also that 70 or 80% of the American Navy is located in the South Chinese Sea. So I think that NATO, and I'm finishing with that, is just used its examples of what they've been doing in 90s in Europe to go further to the Middle East, and now they want to project its military power even to the South Asia and more to China especially.
Do you think what happened in 1999 is quickly becoming Europe's forgotten war?
I don't think it's becoming forgotten. That war is being perceived as a very influential turning point from which people in the other civilization outside of the Western civilization started to realize that NATO is the threat and they should be organized to defend itself.
When you talk about this NATO invasion of former Yugoslavia, there are so many ways to look at it. International law is certainly one aspect of it. In many ways, it's illegitimate.
Absolutely, it's illegitimate and it's illegal. I mean, legality was dubious from the beginning. They did that without the allowance of the Security Council. That was very clear. The resolution 1244 was passed after that, but they still do everything against that resolution. And as you know, Russia and China are the biggest obstacle from their perspective in order to finish, as they call it, with the international acceptance and recognition of that. I mean, it's very clear because China, Russia, who are our allies in Security Council, very clearly are defending international law, are defending actually the basis of the order internationally, because They were clear in 99 with that, that was the precedent that they intend to use to intervene wherever they want. They want to, I don't know, wherever they, but generally what we know is that they create the problem and then they react and use that as a premises for projecting their power in that. So in that sense, I mean, internationally it was very clear. But more and more people, even in the West, start to think in different terms about legitimacy. For us, of course, it was illegitimate. For China, for Russia, for Africa, for Asia, for Latin America, it was very illegitimate already at that time. But now, even in Europe, more and more people think that it was illegitimate and stupid and controversial and problematic for themselves.
What about the use of depleted uranium bombs? That was banned by, what, over 100 countries and the United Nations?
Yes.
And that was dropped again and again on the Serbian people and others in the region.
So there are tens of thousands of people from Kosovo, Albanians mostly, but also Serbs and other ones, who are having cancer problems because of depleted, also in the central Serbia, but mostly because most of the bombs were at the space of Kosovo. A lot of Albanians are coming also into Belgrade, but also to Macedonia and so on. So all the clinics that are dealing with the cancer problems are full with that. Then there were already the first indictments by the Italian soldiers that were part of the KFOR mission then, of which many got cancer problems because they were serving there and so on. So I'm just trying to open some of the many, many problems that NATO left behind that. And finally, speaking again about the values, we are having communication with Albanian intellectuals and people there, and it's hard for there to admit, but actually the rule of NATO for the last 25 years there, and everything that NATO means and West, has totally destroyed the society of Albanians there. Their fertility rate has been reduced. They are massively evading from Kosovo.
So do you think NATO is hurting the very people they said they would help?
Absolutely. Of course, when you speak with Albanians, it's hard for them to recognize that, because they see them as liberators, you know, that they erased the monument to Bill Clinton in
Pristina, Tony Blair.
The intellectual and political elite is very much aware of that, that they actually brought everything else that they didn't. They thought that they will have, as they say, liberty, their independence, possibility to control that, then also economical perspective. They didn't get any of that, and there is a big dissatisfaction among ordinary people.
What do you see as Serbia's strategic future?
Being at the Balkans is always very complicated, because of our strategic position, but also because of what we are. We cannot change ourselves. We simply know what is injustice, and we don't want, even if we are forced to live under the injustice, we will never say that this is justice. We know what is justice and what is unjust. So we are willing, that's our, you know, our, if I could say, archetype and our history is always that we want to fight for liberty, for freedom, for our state, and for justice. That's also very important. So we know on one hand that we are surrounded by the NATO and by the EU countries, and generally strategic, if you speak with our president or people, they will say that it is, you know, our strategic goal is to go into EU. But when you speak with Turkey, they will tell you the same. Although everybody knows that Turkey will never become the part of EU. So I also think that the whole issue about European enlargement is for at least 10 years put out of the trail, and that nobody in Europe and in Germany is interested to get to enlarge. We honestly don't think that we will become within next 10 years member of EU. On the other hand, the biggest problem is the pressure that NATO is doing, that all of us should be part of the NATO. And as you know, Serbia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, because of Serbs, are the only part now that are not member of NATO here. Of course, We are neutral. From 2007, we proclaimed military neutrality, and our leadership, even our president, is speaking more and more upon that. And now, after Sweden and Finland has given up of their neutrality and joined to the NATO, there is more willingness from Austria, Ireland, other countries, or Switzerland, who remain still neutral, to connect with us and with other countries which are really staying neutral. So we are very interested to enhance this alliance, if I could say, of neutral countries in Europe and everywhere in the world. And also, you remember the old idea of the so-called non-aligned countries, which were formed in 61. There was the first meeting in Belgrade. And I'm joking, since there is a monument, very big and nice monument in Belgrade that was erased in 1961, that was for a long time very dirty and left aside. Recently, we repolished that, which symbolically means that we are very much interested to defend our neutrality, to defend the idea of cooperation with everybody in the world. And I mean, in many ways, our position, which is because of NATO's pressure, problematic, but from our perspective, it should be seen as an advantage that actually we can cooperate with the West, but we can also cooperate very well with Russia, with China, even with Turks, with whom we traditionally didn't have so good connections. In the last 8 years, it has also improved. And this is where we see ourselves. We will, as a people, defend our neutrality, liberty, and try to avoid this pressure to join to NATO. In that sense, we are very open for cooperation with everybody in the world who doesn't like to be involved in the NATO and these military alliances.
Thank you so much, Misha.
Thank you very much.
And that will do it for this edition of The Hub on CGTN. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Wang Guan. See you again soon.